Hello, and welcome to the Living on Lemonade podcast. I'm your host, Lauren, and I'm here to share my life stories and tools I've discovered that make up my tool belt of soul practices. As a shift working first responder, these tools have not only changed my life, they've allowed me to shine a light for others who are navigating dark paths and help them move through their difficult time with more grace and ease. If you can use some tools and practices to help manage stress and move through a rough patch, you are in the right place. I can't wait to share my heart and lead you back to yours. Let's get started, shall we? Hello, and welcome back to the Living on Lemonade podcast. I am your host, Lauren. First off, we are at 40 episodes today. How wild is that? I don't know how we've already had 40 episodes. So cool, hey? And I was looking back on the quickest way I check is usually on Apple Podcasts, since I have an iPhone. I was trying to remember when the first episode came out, because I was pretty sure we were past the 1 year mark. I totally dropped the ball on that. And I was right. Our first episode for the Loving Unlimited podcast was November 21st, 2022. So we are officially over the 1 year mark and 40 episodes in. So not too bad for trying to be consistent with doing it weekly. I know I did take a bit of a hiatus. I think it was in the springtime, maybe. A lot was going on, and it was just kind of one of those things where I just had to give myself some grace and move through what life was doing at that time, and just kind of honing it. Sometimes we just need to let go of some of the extras so we can take care of really what's important at the time. Now, came off nights this morning, so there's always extra sleepiness. Plus, it's also 11 p.m., so I need to get this recorded and scheduled to go out in an hour. Anywho, I've been thinking about this most of the day. Like, I got to record my podcast, and I don't really know what to talk about. But I thought with the holidays kind of in full swing, now that we're at, what is the date today? December 10th. We are, 15 days from Christmas Day. Lots of holiday stuff going on, holiday parties, Christmas parties, family get-togethers. And if you celebrate Christmas, or there's other holidays this time of year too, right? But yeah, lots of togetherness. And as much as that can be very joyful and nourishing, especially if you are more extroverted and kind of fill your soul cup and energy tank with connection to others, it can also be a very difficult time of year. Obviously there's many, many ways it can be difficult, but the two that came to mind first was, one, if you're introverted and peopling is not always easy for you, this can be an especially difficult time of year. And then two, if you are grieving or have a tricky family dynamic, as many of us do, I feel like it's more common than not to just have a bit of a wild family dynamic, and sometimes some dread can come with the holidays and seeing, you know, certain family members or whatnot. It can add stress and take away from the joy and the essence of the season. Now, what I started to kind of think about from that is the importance of taking care of ourselves through this season. That can come in a variety of ways. So I thought I would just touch on this. Maybe this will be a short episode. I feel like I always say that and I end up rambling, but we'll see what happens. I actually haven't finished it, but in my network marketing Facebook group. It's just a casual thing. I do try to post kind of regularly. So lately, every day I have a post scheduled for self-care, different types of self-care. So it's an 8-week series. And I think what I'm going to do for the New Year's, I'm going to schedule them in a couple of my, I have like 3 Facebook groups going. It's probably too much, but I don't know. I do love it. I just have to make sure that it's sustainable and isn't too much for me. So they're not terribly, a couple of them aren't like super active in terms of a lot of content. I try to keep a couple staples in my Living on Lemonade and then plan an event per month, and that kind of is sustainable for me. And then with the No Hustle group, we do a couple different things in there as well. So it's like I'm kind of supporting a couple different groups, and then I have my Norwex VIP group, which is most of my time goes into that, because that's more it's a wider business, of course, because it is a more established too. So I have more going on there, but I'm also just more kind of organized with it. And the other two are newer. I started them, I think both. Yeah. I started the Living on Lemonade one in January. And as a podcast listener, you've heard the masterclasses that I've done inside of there. So December's kind of get together for the Living on Lemonade Facebook group. We're going to do, if you hear this in time, we're going to do a vision board workshop. That's on Thursday, December, I believe it's the 14th. Let me just confirm here. Yeah, it should be the 14th at 8 p.m. It's going to be on Zoom. We're just going to hang out. I might do a little chat at the beginning in terms of like intentions and stuff like that. But really, it's just a way to hang out a little bit. If anyone has questions or you want to bounce ideas, we can do that inside of that time. And people who want to cut and paste and make a vision board for 2024 can do that. And those who want to do it digitally, we have Canva. So I'm not an expert at Canva by any means, but I've used it a lot. So I'll be there to kind of assist if anyone has questions. So I decided to switch it up. I just didn't feel inspired to do a masterclass this month. I have been struggling a little bit, if I'm completely honest. The last few weeks I've had a couple really low lows, and it's interesting that when I'm talking about just how dynamic the holiday season can be. So for example, a week ago, like last weekend, it was on the Friday, I came off nights and we went to Cambridge for a surprise retirement party for Henry, who's like my second dad. And that was wonderful, super soul nourishing, and, you know, filled my cup and all of that. And then the next day, my mom had slept over. We took her with us because she doesn't like to drive in the dark. So we took her to Cambridge. She slept over that night. And then the next morning we popped over to the States. I had to pick up a package. It was actually one of those feeders. It's for Darla, my mom's cat. I try to help out with her as well. Anyway, it's one of those feeders that you can schedule stuff, because Darla seems to have a little bit of a problem with portion control. And when my mom is away, we just give her the gravity feeder, because I can't pop in every day since she lives just under an hour away. We find that it's not helpful for Darla's weight. So I wanted to get something that we could kind of help to maintain, just like make sure she's getting enough food, but not overeating. So I set it up today anyway. And yeah, so we popped to the States and then came back. And then Eric and I had a Christmas or holiday get together with some friends that we've made over the last couple summers at our local marina, now that we're close by in Sarnia. And it was a lot of fun. There were a few times that I found myself actually like holding my face because I was laughing so hard that my cheeks hurt, and I had to kind of like hold them so they weren't stretching, and just it was a good time. And then the next day, for no particular reason, I hit a low emotionally, and had a hard time doing much of anything that day. That was, I did edit the podcast for last week. I just used a Masterclass. It's kind of one of those things where it was really handy to have an extra just kind of there and ready because I did not feel up to recording. And I kind of just spent the day on the couch watching movies and knitting. I was knitting some drink mitts for gifts and orders and stuff. But just really kind of that's the self-care that I needed that day. So I just kind of honored it and felt low for a few days this past week. And I feel like I'm more on the upswing, but I've tried to dissect it a little bit because it's always it can be discouraging when you just hit a wall and it's like, where did that come from? But I mean that's just grief. I don't know where it came from. I know with the holidays it can be difficult and a lot of people start to miss their people and the traditions and stuff. But if I'm totally honest, I don't, in terms of my dad, I don't necessarily relate or associate him to like holidays because I did as a kid, but over the last decade or a little bit more since he left my mom, he kind of had different things that he did. I didn't really see him on holidays the way that we used to. I would see him maybe around holidays, but we didn't do like the family get-togethers in the traditional sense anymore. So I guess I had already kind of grieved that change, that loss about like back in like 2010 when it all kind of started, or just a little bit after that. So I'm not really sure. I think about my aunt a lot. She always had the get-togethers for the Gahulas, like my dad's side, and she and my uncle were really the peacekeeper, or like the peacekeepers, the people who keep the family together. So maybe there's a little bit of that, but other than that, I don't know. It just, if you are going through the aftermath of a significant loss, perhaps you can kind of relate to it. Sometimes it's like a storm, and sometimes the rogue waves just hit you and they blindside you and you don't know where it came from. You don't know why, but I just had one of those. So it's kind of got me thinking a little bit about as we navigate this holiday season with the extra interactions and maybe we don't have a whole lot of interactions. Maybe it's extra lonely because we don't have our people around us. How can we take care of ourselves? How can we make that a priority so that we can navigate the next few weeks or with as much grace and ease as possible? And when I was talking about the self-care series, there's 8 types of self-care. I'm not going to go into all of them, but the main ones that I kind of focus on in terms of like this context would be physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual, and maybe environmental. Some of them can kind of like when you think of different practices for each one, they can kind of meld into each other a little bit here and there. They're interchangeable in that sense. So, starting with physical self-care, moving our bodies and just, yeah, making sure that we move our bodies through this season. It helps us process our emotions too, even going for a walk. I read an article that it was talking about how walking has similar effects as EMDR, which is like an eye movement type therapy to process trauma. Because as we're walking, our eyes are moving back and forth with just what's the word? Observing our environment, right? Maybe making sure that we're safe. So it has kind of similar, it's kind of a similar effect, which I found really interesting. It's like a very organic way, and you can just do it by yourself. You could pop a podcast in. So making sure that you're moving your body. And also being mindful of nutrition, right? I know this is a year to this is a the time of year that we often like to indulge, myself included. I'm not going to be a hypocrite and say like, oh, I'm going to eat so healthy because there's going to be cookies, there's going to be treats and all the things. But just noticing how these things kind of make our bodies feel, and if there's things that kind of hurt us a little bit more than others in terms of like how we feel afterwards, maybe cutting back on them, just like not overindulging maybe. So just being like, I'm going to have a little taste of this, but I'm not going to eat as much of it. That's going to make me feel ill. So little things, right? And maybe it's super obvious, but maybe it's something that we just kind of need to remind ourselves of sometimes. I know for me, dairy sometimes kind of upsets my system. So yeah, I just want to be mindful of what I'm eating and how I might feel after, especially if I'm feeling a bit emotional or a bit down. It definitely sucks when you're feeling low emotionally and then you also feel physically ill. So if we can kind of offset that a little bit, it's also always helpful. So movement and nutrition in terms of physical, mental, how are you supporting your mental wellness? Are you practicing boundaries? What are your boundaries so that you can stay kind of mentally healthy and not be anxious about things? Or what else is there? I'm just kind of thinking of things off the top of my head. I don't have any sort of real notes, but yeah, like, do you just need to go for a walk to clear your head? Do you need to take a nap? Nap would work in the physical wellness, but it also works in mental wellness. When we're sleeping, if we get a restful sleep, that's when our brain can really kind of process things and reset for the day and recharge. It's so, so, so important. Mental wellness, also emotional. I find that when I'm very emotional and down, I often need a good night's sleep. And I find that when I'm feeling a little bit burnt out and I start getting irritable, that's a big, big one for me. When I start getting irritable and a little bit, when I have a shorter fuse with things that normally wouldn't really rattle or rock me, I know that it's time to put myself on a timeout. And usually that looks like taking a nice nap. So, like I said, some of these things are kind of interchangeable. But getting enough rest is so, so important. Maybe one of the most important things, because it helps with our entire body, brain, the rest of our body, all of cell processing and all of those things. I can't think of anything else really profound off the top of my head for mental wellness, but just how are you, or do you need to step away from a situation? Again, like I said, just need to take a breather. If, you know, maybe conversation's getting a little intense, or there's just, yeah, someone that just, you have a hard time being around, you need a bit of a smaller dose. Maybe you just step out of the room and just take a few breaths. You can go into the bathroom, and if you're feeling activated, if your nervous system feels dysregulated, hand over heart, literally just connect back with your body. Look around, start to orient. That helps your body kind of ground and brings yourself back into the present, brings yourself back into your body. So you're not strictly in your mind and ruminating about things or feeling anxious about things. Just looking around, hand over heart. You can do a grounding exercise. It can be as simple, if you're sitting or standing, just imagining roots either from your, you know, kind of the base of your tailbone if you're sitting, or from your feet, kind of anchoring you into the earth. You can imagine roots growing out of those places and down into the earth, and maybe wrapping around like the center, the core of the earth, and just like anchoring you to the ground and keeping you grounded if you're feeling a little bit anxious. Or I call it airy fairy, when I just feel like I'm really up in my head and things just feel really flighty and almost like dizzy or spirally in my brain. Grounding is very helpful for that. So mental health. And then if we move into kind of supporting our emotional health as well, some of those things are also interchangeable. And honestly, the biggest thing that I can say for emotional health that helps to ensure wellness or foster or maintain, if and when you can make space for this, if you need to have a good cry, have a good cry. When tension's high and you just need to just let it out a little bit, even if it's just a few, just kind of let a few fall without a full-blown breakdown if you're with family or something and it's just not really the time for that. If you can have the privacy and let it out. I will always advocate for just letting it out. Let the tears roll. It helps to regulate our nervous system and it helps to process difficult emotions. It is our bodies, like I really feel like we don't give our bodies enough credit for the wisdom that it has in how to self-heal and just deal with being human and all of the things. We are meant to have many emotions. If we weren't, we wouldn't have them. The problem is society tells us, oh, those are wrong. There's no bad emotions. Emotions feel bad because they're uncomfortable. And we as humans don't like to feel pain. And we will go to great lengths not to feel pain. So that's why we think they're bad, but they're not. This is how we release feelings. We have to just feel things as part of the human experience. And we're going to get activated by things that people say or things that people do, especially with our own wounding. But having an avenue like just crying, letting a few tears slide down our cheeks, having a big blubbery cry, maybe you need to go sit out in your car for a bit, or I don't know what you need to do, but if you can allow your body to do that, it helps us self-regulate, it helps to bring your heart rate back down, it helps to just, like, there's I'm trying to remember for sure, but there's like an interaction with the vagus nerve, which is part of the parasympathetic nervous system, and it helps to calm your entire body. The other thing is when we cry, it releases oxytocin, which is like a connection hormone. It's also relaxing and soothing. So by crying, it triggers your brain to release hormones that help to relax your system. And anyone who's had a good cry, you notice afterwards how, like, you feel like there's a weight off. That's why people describe it that way. It's like you're all tense and, you know, there's been a buildup of things, or you have an argument with someone and emotions are high and things just feel really heavy. You go have a nice cry and it just feels like your shoulders have dropped. There's a weight off. You can finally relax. And I mean, I don't schedule cries. That sounds funny, but I can tell when I'm at a point where I have a buildup and I need to release it. And I'll find ways to do that, whether it's like sad songs, you just gotta kind of trigger that emotional flow, or I'll watch like a sad movie that I know will get me every time. And sometimes I don't need those things. Sometimes I just need to sit and feel with the sensations and the experiences that I've had recently that maybe I wasn't able to address in the moment. It was an inappropriate time I was at work or whatever it was, and I couldn't just like sit there and have a blubbery cry. But making space for that and letting it go, and I always feel better at the end. Sometimes I cry so hard I get a headache and the next day I feel almost like energetically hungover, but I do know that it's helped to process some emotions and experiences. So if you need permission from someone other than yourself, I say go have a good cry and let it out, and you'll feel better after, I promise. We went through physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. If that's something relevant to you, if it's I'm just trying to kind of plug it in real time. But oh, okay. How are you honoring your authenticity? That can be linked back to kind of spirituality, the essence of who you are, and standing firm in that. That would also include boundaries, when you're around others and stuff, but very fully, like making sure that you're true to yourself. That's how I kind of associate that with like spirituality. It's like your core, it's who you are, it's your soul. Taking care of your soul, to me, would relate to like authenticity and boundaries and all of that good stuff. So just an eye a quick idea and being mindful and stepping in and up for yourself if you need to. Sometimes it happens when we're with those family members and things get a little tricky. I think that's it for this episode. Yeah. I just want to encourage and remind you that it's okay if this season isn't super joyful for you, if you're going through a difficult time, or if this time of year brings up some heavy and difficult things. I hope you have some beautiful tools that you can put in place just to kind of help you navigate. You can always look up like pillars of self-care if you want to look into it a little bit more. Maybe I'll do an episode on it. I just wasn't terribly organized tonight, so I wanted to kind of touch on it a little bit in real time. Hopefully there's a few little tidbits in there. Breathe, remember to breathe. Box breathing. Box breathing is like, so say you do a count of four, you're going to inhale for four, retain for four, exhale for four, retain for four. So this could be a breathing technique that you can do anywhere. If you feel a little activated, it brings you into the present moment because you're thinking about counting and stuff, and you're thinking about what you're doing. You're directly back into your body because you're working actively with your breath. You can do that. One other quick breathing tip is inhale for whatever you want. Maybe it's six, maybe it's eight. And the only trick here is you're going to exhale longer than you inhale. That signals to your body that you're safe, starts to restore that parasympathetic state, and bring your body, I can't talk, bring your body back into like an equilibrium. So that's it for tonight. I hope there's a couple little nuggets in there for you. If you hear this in time and you want to hang out on Thursday, pop into the Living on Lemonade Facebook group or send me a message on Instagram. I'll send you the Zoom link and we'd be thrilled to have you. We're just going to be hanging out and working on vision boards for 2022. Oh my gosh, 2024. And yeah, envisioning our goals and intentions for the year. So, hope everyone's doing okay out there. Sending you big hugs, so much love, and we will see you inside the next episode. Bye. Thank you so much for tuning in today's episode, and I can't wait to meet you inside of the next one. In the meantime, if you'd like to connect on social media, you can find me on Instagram at Ms. Lauren Gilhula. That's MZZLaurenGilhula. Hope to see you soon.